Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Nicomachean Ethics is Aristotle's most influential work on how to live well. Written as a practical inquiry rather than a set of rules, it asks what the highest human good is and how a person can reliably achieve it. Aristotle argues that ethics is not only about knowing what is right, but about becoming the kind of person who chooses well in real situations. The book develops a vision of flourishing, often translated as happiness, grounded in reasoned activity and shaped by character. It introduces virtue as a stable disposition built through habit, and it treats moral education as a lifelong craft supported by community and good institutions. Along the way, Aristotle examines choice, responsibility, pleasure, friendship, justice, and the role of contemplation. The enduring appeal of the work is its balance of rigor and realism. It takes moral ideals seriously, while insisting that ethics must fit the complexity of everyday life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, flourishing as the aim of human life. A central thread of Nicomachean ethics is the search for the ultimate end that gives coherence to all our pursuits. Aristotle argues that people choose wealth, honor, pleasure, or knowledge because they expect these things to contribute to a deeper good. That deeper good is flourishing, often rendered as happiness, but meant as a whole life going well rather than a passing feeling. To clarify this, Aristotle uses a functional approach. If each kind of thing has a characteristic activity, then a good human life should express what is distinctive about human beings. For Aristotle, that distinctiveness is rational activity. Flourishing, therefore, involves living and acting in accordance with reason, consistently and over time. This framework changes how moral decisions look. The question becomes not only what brings immediate satisfaction, but what builds a life with integrity, excellence, and stability. It also explains why ethics requires experience and practical judgment, since the good life depends on context, relationships, and the shaping of character. The result is a goal-oriented ethics that evaluates actions by how they contribute to a complete, well-formed life. Secondly, virtue as habit and the doctrine of the mean, Aristotle's virtue ethics is built on the idea that moral excellence is learned through practice. Virtue is not simply a feeling or an abstract belief, it is a settled disposition to respond well, formed by repeated choices. Because people become just by doing just actions, and courageous by doing courageous actions, moral education is inseparable from daily behavior. Aristotle also describes many virtues through the doctrine of the mean. Excellence often lies between two vices, one of excess and one of deficiency. Courage, for example, navigates between rashness and cowardice. Generosity avoids both wastefulness and stinginess. The mean is not a mathematical midpoint, but a fitting response relative to the person and the situation, which makes ethical life more like skilled performance than rule. Following, this approach highlights why developing good character takes time, mentorship, and self-awareness. It also makes room for emotional training. Feelings such as fear or anger are not automatically wrong, but they need to be educated so they arise at the right times, for the right reasons, and in the right degree. Virtue becomes the reliable capacity to choose well under pressure. Thirdly, choice, responsibility, and practical wisdom. Nicomachean ethics carefully distinguishes between voluntary and involuntary action, since praise and blame only make sense when choices are genuinely one's own. Aristotle explores how ignorance, coercion, and mixed motives complicate responsibility, and he emphasizes that ethical evaluation must consider the agent's intention and understanding. At the heart of moral agency is choice, a deliberate desire informed by reasoning about means. This is where practical wisdom enters. Practical wisdom is the intellectual virtue that enables someone to deliberate well about what is good and beneficial in particular circumstances. It is not mere cleverness or strategic calculation. It requires a truthful grasp of worthwhile ends and a refined sensitivity to the details that matter. Practical wisdom connects moral virtue to action. A person can have good impulses yet fail without sound judgment, and a person can reason well yet act badly if character is corrupted. Aristotle's account therefore integrates head and heart, showing that ethical maturity is a coordinated achievement. For readers, this section underscores that personal growth involves more than willpower. It requires building decision-making skills, learning from consequences, seeking counsel, and gradually seeing situations more accurately. Fourthly, justice, community, and the political dimensions of ethics. Aristotle treats ethics as inseparable from life and community because character is formed within social practices, laws, and shared expectations. Justice receives special attention as the virtue most directly concerned with others. He distinguishes broad justice, aligned with lawful and virtuous conduct generally, from particular justice, which governs fairness in distributions and transactions. By examining proportional fairness, rectifying wrongs, and the idea of equity, Aristotle shows that rigid application of rules can miss what fairness requires in unusual cases. This analysis makes ethics concrete. Real justice must deal with competing claims, limited resources, and imperfect information. Aristotle also connects personal virtue to political structures, arguing that good laws can educate citizens by encouraging better habits and discouraging destructive ones. The implication is that moral development is not only private self-improvement, it is also shaped by institutions, friendships, and civic norms. For modern readers, this part of the book provides a vocabulary for thinking about responsibility beyond the individual, including how workplaces, schools, and governments influence character. It also highlights that fairness is an active practice requiring judgment, not just a slogan or a procedure. Lastly, friendship, pleasure, and the highest life. In its later books, Nicomachean Ethics widens from individual virtue to the relationships and satisfactions that make life complete. Aristotle's treatment of friendship is especially rich. He identifies friendships of utility, pleasure, and virtue, and he argues that the best friendships are grounded in mutual appreciation of character. Such relationships support moral growth by offering truthful feedback, shared activities, and stability over time. Aristotle also addresses pleasure, refusing both crude indulgence and puritanical suspicion. Pleasure can accompany excellent activity, and well-ordered pleasures can reinforce good habits, while disordered pleasures can undermine judgment and self-control. The book culminates in a discussion of the highest form of human activity. Aristotle suggests that contemplation, the sustained exercise of understanding, represents a peak expression of rational life. Yet he does not portray the good life as solitary or otherworldly. He continues to recognize the need for moral virtue, friendship, and adequate external goods. The combined message is balanced. Flourishing requires meaningful relationships, disciplined enjoyment, and engagement with what is worthy of deep attention. Readers can use these ideas to rethink success as a harmony of character, connection, and purpose. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want more than quick moral advice, philosophy students, leaders, educators, and anyone trying to build a steady character under real-world pressures. It is also valuable for people interested in virtue ethics, civic responsibility, or the role of friendship and pleasure in a meaningful life. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual. Aristotle offers a framework for evaluating choices by their contribution to a whole life, not just short-term outcomes. His emphasis on habit shows how change becomes possible through repeated action, while the focus on practical wisdom teaches readers to improve judgment rather than cling to simplistic rules. Compared to many modern self-help or productivity books, Nicomachean Ethics is worth buying because it addresses the deeper question behind all techniques: what is the good life, and what kind of person should you become? It is also richer than many contemporary ethics guides because it integrates personal virtue, relationships, and social institutions into a single account of flourishing. As a result, it remains a durable companion for anyone seeking clarity, balance, and moral maturity. If you would like to support Aristotle, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.